All right. Good morning, everybody. If you would join me in a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you for this morning that we can gather to seek you, Lord. We would just want to offer our minds, our hearts to you, and we ask for your help, Holy Spirit, to bring revelation into the text today so that we can really understand and that your word, your teaching, would transform our minds. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read. The verse we're going to look at is just 1 Corinthians 15:4. But we're just going to read from, it's so short. We're just going to read from verse 1 to 4, just so we have a little bit more context. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for us, died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. Amen. So we're looking at, really, Paul is sharing what the gospel is in a nutshell, right? Which is three things. From verse 4, verse 3, it was that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. And so last week, I basically concentrated on what it meant when we said Jesus died for our sins. And so today, we're going to look at what it means and why it's significant that Jesus was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Okay? So why is it that Paul included the part that says Jesus was buried? Why is that important? Why is it significant? I believe that's also in the Apostles' Creed, right? Is it? Yeah. It's in there. So why is this so important? Okay? One of the reasons it's so important because it's really important that Jesus did, in fact, die. Right? If they didn't have evidence that he died, then it would really take away from the fact, not just what it symbolizes, in fact, in the case of him dying for our sins, but it also wouldn't be so impressive if he resurrected. Right? The reason it's amazing that he rose from the dead was because he died. And so there's a lot of, in the scripture, they're very intentional in pointing out he died, right? I'm just going to read. This is in John 19, 31 to 37. And it writes, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. So if you remember, if they want to expedite the death of people who are suffering from crucifixion, they just break their legs because then they can't lift themselves up to breathe anymore. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, so they were going to break his legs, but no need, right? Because they confirmed he's dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. So basically a double confirmation that Jesus was dead. So they pierced them. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that they also may believe. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of the bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. So you can see, they're very specific. Jesus died. And that's why that's why they point out that he was buried. Because you only bury, I don't know why I'm saying, you only bury someone who's dead, right? You don't bury someone who's alive. And also, you can't bury yourself, right? The only way you can be buried is someone else has to be there to do it. So it's basically eyewitness, it's evidence. The other reason it's so important that he was buried is also to fulfill prophecy. Okay? This is pretty cool. So in Isaiah 53:9, this is what was prophesied, is he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So he was so it's two things. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and we know that when Jesus was crucified, he was beside two people who were criminals, thieves, right? And one was receptive of forgiveness, and the other one rejected it, right? And so he was surrounded by or assigned a grave with the wicked. And then it says, and with the rich in his death. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, Matthew 27, 57, 60. It says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea, yes, named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. So he was a rich man. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. And so this disciple of Jesus, he's a rich man. So already it's the prophecy is being fulfilled. And he is the eyewitness. He's the one who collected the dead body of Jesus from Pilate with Pilate's permission. He was the one who wrapped the body and prepared it, I guess the ceremony to preserve and take care of the body. And he was the one who put Jesus in his own tomb, right? And took and did this. So he not only is the eyewitness, but he's the one who's part of fulfilling the prophecy and with the rich in his death. So that's why it's significant that he was buried. And then he was raised on the third day. He was raised. So what we're talking about is his resurrection. Have you ever thought, why is a resurrection so significant? Like, Jesus already died on the cross for our sins, and so why is the resurrection so important? Okay? What was that? To save us from our sins, but he already did that. Someone said, save us from our sins. He already did that. He died for our sins, right? Okay, well, one, I think sometimes we get so focused on just Well, I think especially if you grew up listening to this, he saved us from our sins, and that's the good news, and it is, right? But if it's just that, while it's really great news for us, it's kind of sad news, right? Let me explain. Why, without the resurrection, it's kind of sad. I mean, I remember years ago, there was these terrorists in Thailand, and they took over a bus, and there was this Christian family, like mom, dad, and a few of their kids, and these terrorists started shooting up the bus, and they were shooting, aiming at the kids, and the father jumped in front of covered the family, and instead he was killed, sacrificed himself, and his mother, his wife, and his kids were saved. If you hear that, you're not like celebrating, right? You're not like, oh, that's awesome. You'd say, oh man, I mean, it's amazing what he did for his family and children's sacrifice, but that's really unfortunate and sad. And so that's the case too, right? If Jesus died for his sins, he didn't deserve it, right? And the context also, he has these amazing relationships with his disciples and apostles. And it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so, yes, he was the perfect sacrifice for us, but he was the least deserving person to go through what he went through, right? And it says, because, Acts 2:27, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. Acts 2:21-32, seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we were all witness to it, of it. And so, resurrection is how we can still celebrate, how it is a positive thing, right? It shows that not only was Jesus able to absolve us of our sins by being the sacrifice in our place, but it shows he also conquered death, right? And so Satan was celebrating initially, which is, yes, you died for humanity's sin, but you died. That's it, right? But he didn't only die. In fact, he died for it, took care of our sins, and also conquered death. And so he was resurrected. And therefore, it's really good news, right? And then the other reason it's so significant, not only did he resurrect, but he resurrected on the third day. Why is it so important that he resurrected on the third day specifically? Because Jesus said he would, right? Jesus said he would be resurrected on the third day. He mentions this, even though it seems like every time he talked about this to his disciples would just zone out for some reason. But there are at least three instances. It says in Matthew 16:21, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Matthew 17:23. Jesus actually says this, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. Matthew 20:19. And we will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. Let me ask you, If I were to ask Mon, when are you going to die? Right? She probably, either she go, I don't know. Or she'll say like, I don't know. And then it's like, oh, then who knows? And she'd probably say, oh, I mean, only God knows, right? Only God knows when we're going to die. And Jesus not only knows exactly when he's going to die, he takes it to a next level. It's already like knowing when is already miraculous. But he is forecasting even when he's going to be raised from the dead, right? And if this doesn't happen, right? Because he said this is what's going to happen. If this doesn't happen, then it kind of negates everything he said, right? But if it does happen, then it affirms everything that he says, right? And one of the things he does say is, I am the Son of God, right? In fact, I am God. And the fact that he affirms it by dying and resurrecting on the third day proves, not only proves his words, but it proves who he is, which is he is God, right? And so I invite Mon up. And yeah, sometimes it's hard for us to really understand in the context because we're not in that context, right? We're so focused on just receiving, I think especially receiving our forgiveness of sins, which is a huge deal. But I imagine for the disciples, it was actually a bigger deal that when Jesus died on the cross, they were probably just really heartbroken and sad. That was their main focus. Confused, sad that this amazing man that they loved had suffered and they had witnessed it and was gone. But then resurrection came and he came back, right? And imagine in that moment when they realize that Jesus resurrected and they see each other and they speak those words, he has risen. It really was celebration, right? That Jesus was back. And Jesus is alive in our lives right now. He's given us the presence of the Holy Spirit to indwell in all of us. And so just we can celebrate just as he did. Be thankful to be filled with joy. And so let's just, as we worship, let's let this truth just permeate in our spirit, and we can also celebrate just as the disciples did.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. Is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. The Lord's a Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation. The promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave with no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your barren body began to breathe. Out of the silence, your roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. And Jesus, yours is the victory.
The song, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Not a hope that just died, but he is our living hope. And so let's go turn to our prayer requests. And let's pray and intercede to our living hope, who is listening and has the capability to even overcome death. And so let's pray for those who are suffering from chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's power to heal, to strengthen, and to encourage those people on the list, as well as those who are supporting them. Next, let's pray for those who are ill, but also, more importantly, are in need of word of salvation in their life. Let's pray for God to touch their hearts and have receptive and open hearts, and for God to heal their illness. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Pray for God to fully heal and restore. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers. Let's pray for their protection, for encouragement, and also strength. Let's also lift up Catherine on the jobs list. Let's pray for God's provision, God to lead and guide her to the right job. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan, P. Sophia and Jungmin and Hyunjin. Let's pray for SP Tokyo. Let's also pray for our U.S. plant, SPNY, Kelly, Jess, and Ruth. Let's also pray for India, Kelly, our missionary. Let's pray. Also pray for our missions council, P. Samuel, Tim, Sally, Mike, and John. Let's pray for direction and vision and guidance, especially as travel restrictions are opening up. Let's pray. Let's pray for our SP fam, foster and adoption ministry. Let's pray for the parents and the kids and the placements. Let's also pray for our Friday night gatherings, IP, SP Youth, SPU. Pray for a spirit-led time. There'd be also amazing connection and fellowship during their gathering. Let's also pray for our pregnant moms. Let's lift up Hina and any other pregnancies you might be aware of. Pray for God's protection, for the health of the baby and mom, and that God's just in control of the situation and that His will be done. Finally, let's pray for the house churches that they are gathering today. Let's pray for Agora, Go, McCain, MacDaddy, Providence Bay, and Zion House Church. Let's pray for just an amazing time of gathering, that they would be so inspired to by the message and do something in response. Let's pray. Father God, thankful for today, and Jesus, what you did on the cross for us, and dying on the cross for us, and resurrecting, Lord. And we always have, as we look to the cross and your resurrection, we're so touched by your sacrifice. And we celebrate that you have risen, that your presence is with us. And just be with us today as we continue. That we be so aware of you in our lives, and also what you're doing in around us, Lord. And that we could also be a part of what you're doing, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.